So I'm turning to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, and I'll begin with the first verse. So Matthew 25 and verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Friends, we're thinking this morning about the differences that matter. The differences that matter. And this is a parable of the Lord about his second coming. And he had spoken first to warn about presumption and laziness. People who will simply not be careful to see that they are really embracing the law, but will simply assume that they are in a safe place, safe condition, only to be surprised by the Lord coming to assign them with a hypocrite. And so that's the warning that the Lord gave from verses 42 to 51. And so this parable actually enforces that. The Lord told that parable to stress that in again. And so, my dear friends, that will be our consideration, the differences that matter. In this life, you know, there's bound to be differences. Differences of appearance, differences of height, differences of education, differences in health conditions, and all kinds of differences. You know, some of them matter, some of them don't matter. Friends, this parable draws attention to the differences that really matter. So that, you know, as long as we are put in this world, you are bound to take up all kinds of things that you must do them. You must go to school, you must work hard, you must make sure you earn your own living. These things are necessities. You cannot, you dare not leave them behind. Otherwise, it will render us as people who would, even in that respect alone, dishonor God. But what are the differences that really matter? What are the differences that really matter before Almighty God? These are really differences which you must find yourself on the better side. In any instance, here because this is a radiant sentence. They say, "Yes, yes, 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 yes." And so this is about this parable. Sama beya radiant Christo buye no oboko kofa ni maya etosu mienu no oboko kisanse. Iradika se nimpe bimo owa omo besusu omo se omo jina ye. If omo besusu omo se omo eye iradi di ampe omo se iradi pa omo ni nukra beko. And so enye se omo shushomu ehunu enya fapin miu omo e bon trim na omo susebe yesa. Friends, one of the things that we praise the Lord for Christianity is the only faith that never depends on assumption, presumption. Christianity never rests on assumption. Only Christianity rests on certainties. Apostle Paul could say, "And we know, and we know, and we know." He likes saying that a lot because Christianity is certain. We are not assuming things. We are not presuming upon things. The Moyen Dream, Eradimaya Dream to me, ACMP. And when you remember Bremo, Christian Simon Quanis Arsenal, and more watching to me CUP, and when you remember Bremo, and no more in here and Casano, watching it to me CUP, and what more. enti sanu memono ena ehia se mehia se by far bay na mewo. These are the differences that matter, and this parable even draws our attention to some of the differences that even don't matter in religious things, you see. And it's here in this parable. So friends, let's get into that together. What I would like to do is, so that we appreciate the parable, I'll simply go through the parable to the end and then begin to draw the application. I hope that will let us see things clearly. And to make the ebeno ekano ekudu ewe ewiansa na yakasa ache yankasa yonso. And so chapter 25 and verse 1, once again there. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened to 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Now it was the custom of those days. The weddings at the time of the Lord were very different from ours. In fact, it was not a religious matter. It was purely a social affair. And so it never went to the house of the Lord. It actually began in a house and ended in a house. And so it was purely a social matter. You may invite a religious person, a preacher or a teacher, to come around, like the Lord Jesus Christ was invited in chapter 2 of John, to come around to give a blessing or something like that, but it was purely a social affair. And it was also different in this respect. The wedding actually consisted mainly with what we call the reception today. That was the wedding in their time, because the woman, the bride, would be prepared by her parents in her house. And then the man would also dress up from his house, and then he would walk through the streets with his helpers, they would call them best man. And so they would walk through the streets all the time, all the entire way, and then come to the woman's house, and then just pick up the woman. Now this woman would have helpers with her, the 10 virgins. Virgins, young ladies, simply young persons who are not married. Young ladies who are not married. And so they will be in her house, help her with the various preparations, help with her dressing, and all the rest of it, and then they would be with her. Now, the reason, the parable explained further, so they will be with her waiting for the man to come. The man will walk all the way, come to the woman's house, pick her up, and then they walk back to his house. You see, as they go back to his house, it's maybe a different house, maybe an attachment to his parents' house, whatever it may be. But he'll go back to his house, and there the celebration begins. That's the marriage. You see, of course, the betrothal, the earlier payment of the dowry and things would have been done. You know, they have the betrothal, what we call the engagement. They would have done that some time before. And so the day of the marriage itself, it is simply a man coming to pick up the woman and take him to his house. And they have the celebration. Sometimes the celebration could go on for 7 days. Can you imagine that? If we attempted that in Ghana. So 7 days they'll be drinking, eating and drinking. So you understand why in John chapter 2 they ran out of drink. So we were not told how many days they were running. But at least for 7 days they'll be there. And the bride and the groom will be dressing up. Sometimes if they were wealthy, they'll be changing their garments, you see. And then they'll be showing off a little, you see. And then giving the food also. Radiance Christ abresono. Na some more ye omu warrior a different if he emre moka cry. San said and shada em kubie a sorry fi sha se wo fi ne kubie we fi sa ye se si obanu no banu wo and ma omu eban in chen babuan dik obit nya ye obia or penasem and you hear nisa on warrior pay. No our friend is so umbra ome buan wana warrior breno. Into this young lady, Bewan in China, Yapon, who says, and Hunia Kikahunina, no Beman, so Bewanifi, Diana, one, Papa Fi, and us on one, if he, on the says, and Dana Yawan Yaka say, and now we did kind of a bit here, and why the Anini is so teaching, and I'm maybe a basin answer. It is sad and long as I did, because the same idea, Kakrano, Sawukotia, sa your friend said dowry, nobody called ma and penny for my mini papa, and I won't worry and answer. Even though a modi woman pass under next memory, I wouldn't mean young easily, sir, and it's a work with you, yes, I fraud your uncle said. Papa no ba, wa dress fine, no ben auntie, So that's the background to this parable. Now see what happens here. Verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened to 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. So these 10 virgins with 10 young ladies unmarried, they were going to meet the bridegroom because they were going to wait with the bride in order to go with him. And why did they take their lambs? Because when the bridegroom comes, they will have to walk all the way back to his house. And there were no street lights in those days. And so these persons will be carrying their lambs along the way. So they may lead the procession with their lambs on the way, all the way to the man's house. So their services was quite vital in those. It added color also to the entire celebration. And so their services were quite helpful. Verse 2. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. And so the Lord deliberately divides these 10 virgins that had gone to help into 2 equal parts. And why were one group called wise and the other foolish? Verse 3. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. We do not know why. But you can think of a whole number of reasons why they would take their lamps and not take extra oil. They have this lamp at the moment, there's some oil in it. If we weigh from the application, the teaching the Lord Jesus Christ gave before he came into this parable, we can assume some of the reasons why they did not take extra oil. One of them would have been presumption. They would have said, oh, but this oil will be enough. No, I think I've got enough oil in this lamp. By the time the man comes, there will be enough oil to really stay and then go back to the man's house. So there would be no problem at all. And then also, there would have been the problem of laziness. They didn't want to really burden themselves. Here you are, they want us to wear travel light. Only a lamp in his hand, free to walk about anyhow, and then go. They wanted to be free. We would have to assume from what the Savior wanted to point at, and also they didn't want to bear extra costs. Well, they have the oil in their lamps, that's enough. Well, if I want to get an extra oil, it means go and get extra oil. Lamps in those days, I'm sure you know, really were run with oil, not kerosene, because kerosenes were not discovered in those days. So oil, olive oil, would be poured into that container with a wick, a piece of cloth or something in it that helps it to keep burning all the time. They were developing others that were a bit small, but that was for the Romans. But for the Jews, it was a basic thing. And so they didn't want to bother themselves, so they were merely going like that. And so we are told that this is why they were foolish. Verse 4. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And so the wise were wise because they had foresight. They said, we have known this before. And it was known. It was fairly common for the bridegroom to delay. In fact, even to midnight. It was a normal thing. Nobody fixed the time. The bridegroom took his time. I don't know whether weddings in Ghana, we took that clue from them. Because nobody cares about time in weddings in these days. But we said the day is for them. So let them enjoy. Let them take it easy. Well, but yeah, it's not for them alone. They've invited people, isn't it? So they should take us all into consideration and make sure they keep the time. Anyway, but in those days, yes, it was the bridegroom coming to take his bride. So he can come any time he wants. He's not under any pressure. And everything will happen in his house. So he can be there for 7 days. So if the first day you think he'll be late and you're not sure of time, go second day, third day or something. So you can have that liberty, you see, but not our time. Today, we can only give you a few hours. And that's all. Anyway, so it was known that the bridegroom could be so late. And so the wise took that into consideration. And so they went. You see, sa ema ten na omo ekọ oba ni fie no. Enum eye enyansafo na enum eye nkwasea. Omo mo ye nkwasea no, ye from some ye nkwasea sense. Omo sorry happen omo fa won light no. Omo amfa extra oil, omo amfa engo anka ho a. Ebia na se light na kitan se dumo a. Omo betumi sa edi egum. Omo fair no more call it. Yes, say, I didn't know my yes, sir. Omo ye wa jin se. Eh, dear, you are moon yin this sepapa no beche. Into momo oil no ebe ye enough. I feel this is sufi de radius crystal, and I'm the sunti obusa ben se. No mo ya ye acquired before secacra. A son se. No moon person mo fa bibi e kamubio. Mo person mo travel like se. Mo kamu a hurry on. Sanum person mo ye. Inti omo fire no mo koye samu ko shia papa no na omo mo yenya safo ne de omo fa won light no na omo fa oyo se kan no se e bia se oyo no light ni dumo a omo de begum na omo koye inti Radia Christo can verse 5 while the bridegroom tarried they all slumbered and said please look at how the Savior said it. It's very helpful when he's giving us a parable, the main lessons are one, but the details he adds enriches the main lessons. Verse 5. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. So you see, they did not decide to sleep. Sleep came upon them. If you decide to sleep, you simply go lie down, sleep, isn't it? No, they didn't decide to sleep. That's why they slumbered. They sat down, and perhaps they were waiting, perhaps they were having conversations, and they were talking about things, and then now gradually, and then the eyes began to grow drowsy, and then the conversations were becoming less and less, and before you realize, the place was quiet, and they were gone, everybody was asleep. So sleep came upon them. It's significant that we stress this. So sleep came upon the verse 6, and at midnight, you see, the man came at midnight. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Yes, so they'll be the ones to go out to meet him, because they'll meet him somewhere along the way, short way away to bring him in, into the house. And so there was a shout, the bridegroom is here, so go out and meet him. And then at this time, all the lamps have gone out, verse 7. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. They turned on their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Do you see that even their request was foolish? It wasn't carefully thought over. Of course you can understand, this is the only request they could make. It is midnight. Where else could they go? And so all they could say was, oh, please give us some oil. But it wasn't wise at all. Because, you see, they would have the journey all the way to the man's house. If they gave them part of their oil, and everybody had half. So you have 10 persons, every one of them having oil. And if they don't reach the house, and all the lights go off along the way, there's no light at all. But at least if you have 5 persons, whose oil, whose light can carry them all the way to the man's house, there will not be perhaps the brightness you want, but at least there's some light to take them all the way home, you see. And so it wasn't wise at all. You want us to divide up so that at the end of the day, there will be shame along the way. If the extra oils run out. And so even their requests wasn't wise. But no, they couldn't see that at all. Verse 9. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. And that's the thing. Lest there may not be enough for you and us. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. We know for sure. You remember, we can glean from another parable the Lord Jesus Christ told in the Gospel of Luke that it will be difficult to get oil at this time. Remember the parable where the Lord Jesus Christ spoke about a person who had guests and wanted bread to feed the guests. He went to knock upon a friend's door, and the friend said, oh, don't disturb me, because I and my children are in bed at this time. It's too late. Don't disturb us. And it took the man's persistence, and because he was his friend, before he could have favor. But this man, far away, this lady is far away from home, where are they going to get the oil? And so we wouldn't be surprised that they may have roamed about until daybreak. Did they return with some? We don't know. But likely, whether they came with some or not, the point was it would have been too late. And we are told in the parable there. Verse 10. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. When you read this part, it strikes your heart. And the door was shut. Yet these ladies had gone on. Can you see? Friends, they went. Their purpose was to go to the marriage. They knew it. They desired it. Every young lady, like today, most young ladies, if you tell them, I want you to become my bridesmaid, well, she would love it. Wouldn't you? Young ladies, a sister is coming to have a wedding, say, would you be my bridesmaid? You think it's a beautiful thing. And here they are. They could not get in. In fact, they could not even see the bridegroom. They heard him. They heard that he's come. But they could not even see him. Because they were gone to get the oil. And so by the time they came, the doors were shut. And then look at what they said, verse 11. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open us, open to us. Their emphasis means, Lord, Lord, is meant to tell us that they were emphatic. They were perhaps even earnest. Lord, Lord, open us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. I know you not. How sad. Indeed, sir, ladies, ten. Five no, omu nyina edda ye. Ye se omu anshe da nkasa omu wa edda. Omu uchen se ayifrukunu no beba. Tomu titi hosa, na fide omu yes omu tonkum, na fide omu dae. Inti, idu isi munu, nisamu kana midnight, verse 12 anajuno. Eno omu ti se, ye kasa ayifrukunu ebo, mun sorry nkoshi ano. And a woman who is a safona, a muddy and woe a becalm, a muddy or muddy beco or won't lighten moon. Now, almost sorry, your Cosiano. And Cosiana, dear, and I'm so lightened a dumunti. No moon, dear, we are moving, sir, in your safona said. But the moon may more light more oil cacra. Nymphing we ain't light, Timo, said the baby to me, the more corn. So, Daddy, where do you hear ye? Because the moon will be a and swinging in it. It is more called and cottabi. Now, right, they say, more coyas or more cotton. And I for could not buy. No buy no more on my radio, not demon coy. Now, if you're motto puno, bray a two muno, and a one in muna, or more quas or more cotton and so by a tree, the mob puno be so say, eradi, so be handsome. No, sit up with a minimum. Now, radi is a crystal boy and cocoa. Say, in verse 13. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Friends, let me mention to you the differences that matter from this parable. First of all, the difference that does not matter. We radi in him. And so sunia and yenena e here and we radi in him. You know of verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. The difference, no, there's no difference between them. You are invited to this wedding merely by the fact that you are a virgin. A young lady who is not married, this is natural. It belongs to every young lady until later on in years. It is natural. And so, everybody could have qualified to be invited to play that role. And all of them went with their lamps. Everybody had a lamp with them. And everybody had a nice intention. I'm going to the wedding. I'm going to the wedding. And so you see, all this was common to all the 10 of them. Only now, I am a lamp, so more co wedding, I say. No one dreams of more co wedding, I say. Friends, what does not make a difference before God? When we are thinking of life, life's end, and eternity, how would this life end with me? And how would this life end with you? How would I stand before God on that day? On the day that matters, sad than when we hear no. May we a bejina say, ne na wusu di a bejina say, ne a wu aim here, a wanyanko point him. Are your intentions? I had wonderful intentions. I really wanted to be a wonderful Christian. I really wanted to be a pastor. And I really wanted. The intentions mean nothing until something comes out of that. The intentions alone will kill you, dear friends, will kill me if it stays only like that. I read a story about a king, I forget which country, and he, when he was dying, he said, I'm sorry, when I die, write on my tomb that this is a king that had all the good intentions but never brought a single one into existence. Intentions alone, however noble, however nice, however pure they are nothing. Because even the most godless person can sometimes have very wonderful intentions. You know, friends, I don't know whether you've met people like that, friends. You know, occasionally you meet your friend that you were colleagues at school. And perhaps sadly, we pray that this doesn't happen. But you meet that colleague, maybe you were all in secondary school together, and then maybe after, say, 10 years, you meet him. And you meet him, and sadly, he's become a drug addict. And those drugs are really ruining his life. And he looks at you and says, hey, John, is that you? Your friend, the drug addict, telling him, oh, John, is that you? Hey, come on, you are nice, huh? And he looks at himself and wishes that he never took that life. Well, the desires alone isn't enough. Friends also, they did not only intend to go, they did go. Friends, it's not just enough. It doesn't make any difference before Almighty God that I go to church every Sunday and attend every meeting where they go to study the Bible. It doesn't make a difference in itself before Almighty God. I am always there. I always go there. It doesn't make difference in itself. They went to the bride's house. And they were invited to go, and they did go. It doesn't make the difference. Let me mention another thing that doesn't make a difference. Please read with me. As I stress, verse 5. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. You remember I was stressing, the sleep came upon them. It was natural that if you stayed on for long hours, eventually you would slumber and sleep. It's natural, isn't it? Friends, please, I hope you would understand this. Christianity says, when you are truly born again, you will see in you something that you cannot attribute to nature. You would say, this must be a finger of God. I remember one writer, Arthur Pink, often says, if you cannot see something in your life that you can say, this is God's finger, it cannot be conversion. It's nature that has been polished. That which some people call conversion is merely nature that is polished. Or natural. In fact, it doesn't make any difference. Even the natural weaknesses that come upon us. That I am a sinner in itself isn't the biggest issue. What is serious is what I do about my sinfulness. God knows me, I am a sinner. Yes, I will perish. I am a sinner by nature. That's not the trouble. The trouble is that I go on to sin by choice also. That I was born a sinner is not the troublesome thing. But then when I am old enough, I live a life of sin also. That's the where the trouble is. So the difference is not simply that, oh, we're all born sinful by nature. That's not the biggest trouble. That's not what, because everybody is like that, isn't it? And so friends, these are not the differences that matter. Anything that anybody can easily take up. Nowadays, anybody can get up and be a pastor. After all, get a Bible in your hand. And then begin to talk. I don't want you to use preach. And begin to talk. You are a pastor, isn't it? In these days, anybody can get somebody to baptize him. So I'm a baptized person. Anybody can get anybody to add him to some gathering they call a church. And so I can be a church member. These are not the things that make the difference before Almighty. Now they are important for those who are Christian, who come truly to the Lord. Let me not undermine that. But something must happen first. The idea and sunsunia e hia wo yankopo enim ba no enye wonne medie me kwa sorry da medie kra ya bomi is crampo me crampo de me soft was a kanwo me crampo de ya kra me ye mitumi ye bibi e me bi friends. Even I want to be careful so I don't undermine these things. If you put them in their proper context, they are beautiful. Perhaps even acts of kindnesses. Everybody can do that. You know that the most wicked person has at least a small circle he shows kindness there. Everybody has people he shows some kindness to. These are not what makes the differences. Everything of nature, everything that anybody at all can get up and begin to practice some. That's not what makes people different. Anybody at all can practice that too. There are things only those whom the Savior is giving a new heart that can practice that, that can live that. That's what makes them different. And I'll be mentioning some of them. Only those that the Savior has washed them and made them new can live that way. That's the difference. You will be And five of them were wise, and five were foolish. Friends, what the big difference is whether Almighty God calls me wise or he calls me foolish. Not men. Because the Bible tells us that when people are blind, they call foolish things wise things. Huh? And so not men, but God. Whether God will call me wise or foolish. Interestingly, you know, the Greek word for foolish is not just because the person is not intelligent. It is not a person being scorned because he's not intelligent. Well, you give him marks and he gets zero. Something like that. Not that at all. You give him a work in school and he struggles. That's not at all, interestingly. Because foolishness in that regard, there's a Greek word for that. But this word has to do with a character. He's a fool because of his character. Who he is. The way he takes his decisions. The way he plans. And the Lord Jesus tells us in elsewhere in scripture, he plans, decides with himself as the center. Himself as the center. The Bible says, fool. Who are you? Why should you make yourself central? Bible saw your question in Chinese. When you sue by him, when you're all dreaming, they said you'll carry Bibia, but no, you're not feeling anything. As I said, Bibia saw the name. Do you remember that the man that ordinarily would have called him very successful, the man in Luke chapter 12, the rich fool, you remember? Everybody would have called him successful. Read the passage and see. Here is a man with a small business. And he works so hard. And the thing becomes larger. And when it became larger, he was actually planning how to preserve it so that it doesn't go waste. So he may really enjoy, because what's the purpose of work? It's to enjoy, isn't it? And so, please, can you find fault with us? Unless you are listening to God, you don't find fault with us, man. And you know where the Savior picked the foolishness from? Because the man had made himself the center. I will enjoy. I will stay back. I, the center. A fool says, I am the most important person. I am the person that must have the advantage and the gain of this of all of it. A fool says this. So it's not foolish because he's not intelligent, but because it's of his character and the mindset. And what is it that influences his decision? Because he stands before God and he thinks that, see, there's no God at all. And if there's any God at all, he doesn't have a first place. He wants to really push God out of the first place and put himself there. This is what we call practical atheists. Somebody who in life behaves as if there's no God, because he himself is God. He takes the central place and God is not there. God must stand aside and respect and help him achieve his own interest, which is very central. And of course, anyone who treats Almighty God this way, the Bible calls a fool. A fool because he is bound to fail. A fool because God will bring him down. A fool because God will show him that he is Lord and no one else. And to the fellow pastor, Nisani Panoa, and yes, only more at the school. But a bonny breast, only no yen sins, a ding in answers of son in the knee. Into one nagini. Said you have found a plan, or yinging in assets, or the Nano crab on Yanko Ponding crab, or she shena ding in assets, said in Yanko Pondia anyhow, no Nuancasa, nature's a ding in a twinning him now or a sonny. New year saying, Bible so yinia, or the Nebra ekasa said, Namibi anyhow. A bim pod in Amicasa Yanko Pondia, but or the Nebra Cassan Yanko Pondi anyhow. It sounds like young. What can say young couple? Now, since you have said, oh, near or not effort at the end, or we are at the end in our boss, or in the fata at the end, but near your questions, the dabby me penny, minimum fata at the end, minimum fata be a damn fasso. And Bible says, we are was here. But a wise person, on the other hand, is a person that is known to be discreet, he's thoughtful. He weighs matter always from God's perspective. A wise person is always saying, but what has God said? What has God said? What has God said? Nyo ye nyansa fono, or dia, I bring no business and nyanko pong eside. Mama yanko bise nyanko pong swe. Yende yesise yesise, yanko bise nyanko pong swe. They went here, they kind of said, Nyanko Pombe, friend, me send me your pastor, and answer me your answer for. Because this childish story of a man who had trained his entire household to steal. So when they go out to go and steal, he makes all his children cooperate. And so if he's entering this house, he puts the children, thinking about that, the five children or so, he puts one there, so they can all be watching. And they have a signal to give. So that when the father enters into the house and somebody is coming, well, they have a signal. For some reason, this time around, when the man was apportioning every the children where each one of them should stand, saying, well, John, you stand there, you also stand there, then he's going there, they put all these there. To his surprise, as he was about to go, one of the children rushed back to him and really held him and said, you've put John there, and Albert is also there, but Daddy, what about here? You've put nobody here to watch. God is watching. A wise person always says, God is watching. He sees and knows what I'm doing. He knows my motives. I can browbeat people. I can scheme against them. But there is an all-wise God. And I can't. A wise person is always remembering God. He is Almighty God. He is the judge. He is the Lord. He is the one I'm dealing with. Oh, friends, it's just warm to pursue that, because so interestingly pursue that in Scripture. My dear friends, will Almighty God regard you as wise or a fool? I say that respectfully. That's a very important question. Not what people say, not what your friends say, but what God says. This is a wise person. Friends, can you imagine that Almighty God looks down and look upon a poor creature like you and I and say, look, a wise person. That's what we want. This is what makes the difference. Now, we push it a little further. Upon what basis, again, will God call somebody wise or fool? We have said that the wise person will always be mindful of God and say, I am dealing with God. I am dealing with Him. A fool is saying, well, I think even if I mention God's name, I. What else? Listen to this again. Verse 3 and 4. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oils with them. And the wise took oils in their vessels with their lamps. You see the difference again. The fool is always presumptuous. And friends, presumptuousness, I believe, is the greatest crime, is the greatest The thing that is lacking, I mean, the thing that is hurting, I should say, many people now. Do you know, there were times, a number of times we stand in front there, and then how many times somebody's passing by and you ask him, are you a Christian? The person says, yes, I am a Christian. And our next question will be, what makes you sure you are a Christian? I know most people know the answer. You know that? Because I've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, they say. And then, you know, the Bible teaches us that we should help people examine their hopes. So we don't do this to disturb people. The Bible commands us to do that. And so we'll ask them, but that statement that I've received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord, what does that mean? I remember, if the brothers remember, there was a young lady. She was so honest. She had answered. When we put that question to her, she said, that's where the problem is. That's what she said. That's where the problem is. I've learned, she didn't add this part, but this is what she meant. I've learned the words. I do not know what they mean. I know how exactly to answer. That's a wonderful thing. Churches, in our own church, we have to do it, and every church must do it. We have to teach the children. And we have something we call catechism. You give the children the questions and answers. They are beautiful. Their purpose is to put in their heads the answers to the vital questions in life. But friends, if he doesn't bless them, it can become a great, great snare where the children know the answers. Put in the question. He knows exactly how to answer. But nowhere in the Bible are we told being able to give the right answers means you believe them. Who has said simply because I know how to give the answers means I believe them? No, it doesn't. If nobody believes that in anything else. And so you see, so presumption. Presumption. I think I'll be okay. I think I'm a safe person. I think I'm a Christian. I think I will go to heaven, we say. You know, in the Bible, what God has said is to give us evidences. Evidences of grace. And the wonderful thing is that when people are converted, they are the least to be presumptuous. They are concerned. If they sin right now, he will go back and say, hey, why did I do that? Why did I say that?
Why did I lie? Why did I harbor that hatred and bitterness in my heart? Do I really have a new heart? And they would want to wrestle this up until they have the comforts of the Lord when they're going to seek pardon. Usually, it is those who are really unconverted, they cleave at superficial evidences, and they are happy with that. It's so surprising, isn't it, my dear friends? These persons went with extra oil. It tells you of the fact that they were saying, well, we do not know what would happen. Let us be ready. Let us be extra careful. Let us be extra concerned. When I'm converted, what makes you extra careful is the concern, is the almost anxiety to want to examine the Bible again and again and say, does the Bible say this? Does the Bible allow me to do this? Does the Bible tells me God approves such? I'm not presumptuous. I am not presuming upon God. No, that's what people are doing. We devise our worship services. If it pleases us, then it must please Almighty God. That's what we assume. And I'm saying, forgive me for this illustration. When I was in a charismatic, semi-charismatic Baptist church in those days, I remember after the choruses, you remember, I don't know whether they still do it. When they danced and this and say, after the chorus and they are done, and the person who's leading would say, ha, ha, look at how it is like on earth. What about heaven? He's assuming that we're going to sing choruses there and dance. He's assuming. Oh, my dear friends, one of the things that makes a difference, makes you a wise person, is that you are anxious to look for evidences. You are anxious to say, does the Bible say this? And let me mention this. One of the evidences, surely, that I'm a converted person is when my entire hopes rests upon the Lord Jesus Christ. When every trust is gone, every confidence in myself is gone. When you are converted, self-confidence dies. Confidence in your own head dies. Why? Because if it were there, you could not have trusted Christ. It's not possible to genuinely trust Christ and trust your head. It's not possible. You'll be having two confidences. It's not possible. You are tired of all trusts. You are tired of all confidences and say, now I look to the Savior alone as my all in all. That's exactly what the Lord does. And He lives in anticipation. The Bible says this clearly. He lives in anticipation of that day. Why? Because he's seen the emptiness of this life. This world no longer dazzles him. Yes, it tempts him for sure. We are saying, he rather looked for that day when the Lord comes. Now, friends, we know that when a person is converted, he trusts only that the Savior shed blood that cleanses him. He has nothing at all. He has nothing at all to lay claim to. This is, I had one Baptist preacher say, and he was right. He said that proud person cannot be a converted person. The person that is so proud. And he's not been stripped of himself yet. He's full of himself. The Lord Jesus Christ cannot have a rival in the heart. And so he must reign alone. When I truly rest my hopes upon Christ, before I do that sincerely, all pride stripped down.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and I laugh at my pride and pour contempt on all my pride. You laugh at your pride, that foolish. Why should I be confident in that? Why should I talk about that, what I can do and what I've done and what I've achieved and things like those? You pour contempt on them. You look upon them as nothing. Friends, you know, it flows from that humbleness of mind where your whole life is given to the Savior. Friends, if these things are not, it's the same humility, stripped of all pride, that makes you a person of prayer. A prayerless person is a proud person. He thinks he can do things himself. A humble person will bring matters before God because he's not confident of himself. He's not confident of his best ideas. He becomes a person of prayer. Another Baptist preacher put it this way. He said, just as a bird takes delight in the branches of a tree and a fish in the oceans, so a born-again person delights in prayer. He goes to his Father. That's where his helps come from. Friends, these are, friends, I ask you, these things that, they are not all, but these are some of the essential ones. These things that show a person to be a Christian, can you find it anywhere? Can anybody at all pick up and do it? No, you can't. You can't get rid of your pride. You can't. It doesn't matter what happens. You can't get rid of your trust in yourself. You can't. You can't pray real prayers. I'm aware you can go to the pub and be clapping your hands and say all kinds of things. You cannot pray real prayers. You don't know what it is to be engaged with God. That's your only hope. You don't know what that means until you are given the Holy Spirit to dwell in you. We call that the spirit of adoption, who enables you to see God as your Father. Because the same sense that God is my Father brings me under his government. I say, I cannot do what I want anymore. My Father is in heaven. He must tell me what I should do and how I should order my life and how I should live my life. And as I relate to him as a Father, Son, the grace of prayer now it's seen in me also. You cannot learn these things. It's giving. When I'm converted, you really would not do that. And while Rishimu wants to win to me, Nyaida. Just say, I'm on beer, bit me do Russian one cassa. Won't me mean said it. Your be radin chance in a bomb pie and cassa. Could you say, your radin and cassa de moon crumb crumb or Emma witness say, a baby was so. That is why to be ruled under the word and prayer at once. I come under the rule of the word, and I'm willing to do only what the word tells me. Then I made a personal prayer. Also, friends, how to begin to close. Let me mention one more difference, and then we'll go on. Look at verse 8. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of the oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, let there not be enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. Friends, the big difference is whether you are one of those who have yourselves tasted, made ready for the coming of the Lord, or your hopes are upon other people. Some people, right to their dying day, they will put their trust perhaps in a prayer of a pastor, in some religious service, things like this, to see them through the last day, even to the last day. They will bank their hopes upon that. They are foolish, because it's not possible. The last one, and I'm done. Verse 10, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. The big difference finally will be who is allowed in into the presence of God in heaven and who is shut out. Friends, that will be the final difference, isn't it? When this life is done and some people are kept out and others are brought in. Friends, these are the differences that matter. Will God call me wise or foolish? Does God see me as a person who is ruled by that fear to be mindful of God always? I am dealing with God. Or that person who is full of himself and is central to all his ideas and all his pursuits and all his judgments? This will be the fool. So, where I am, where am I? Am I the person who has the evidences of grace? Or somebody who is only assuming? I see how that my trust in myself is gone, and trust in this world is gone, and all my hopes now rest upon the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for needy sinners. He is the one that died and purchased reconciliation between sinners and God. My hopes rest upon him. How am I sure my hopes are resting upon him? Because I can see how all my hopes in myself and in the world are gone. And I look to him alone as my Savior and my only refuge. And so I have yielded this life to him. The one you trust, you will trust with your life also. If that trust in this world gives it its life, it's yours. If you trust in the Lord, you will give him your life. And you trust it into his hands and give it to him entirely. And so, friends, am I a person who truly trusts in the Lord, having yielded this life, no longer desiring to rule according to my own tastes, but him? Have I discovered God as my Father, the grace of prayer giving, the submissive heart ruled by his word giving? These are gracious things, precious things. It doesn't matter how many times anybody tries, you can't really mimic this. Only God must grant us. And am I the person that still, by the mercy of God, even to the very last day, my hopes will be on Christ and what he's done in me? Christ, what he did for needy sinners, that has been applied to me, and I have a portion in that. My hopes are not upon others and what they can do, but upon Christ. And then that day, will I be shut out or will I be allowed in? My dear friends, please, I've done. A day is coming when you may be shut out or allowed in. Do you care about that? A day be baba. Yabema ukwaiso bebe radi enimo. Ewa nukofu infinifini. Anas obe kawa. Yet won't be good about it. You had wished. You may not have been an extremely wicked person, religious perhaps, and you had desired even heaven. You had desired even to be a Christian. We don't want to go to heaven. We don't want to be a Christian. The desire alone is nothing, unless he brought you to seek the Lord and to find him. My dear friends, know where the differences are. The differences that matter. Of him, Radius, the Christian coin chain, you know, quite a bit. We need our soul. 念那经过，我们也。